Let's pray. Father, just thank you for your blessing on us. I thank you for your word. I thank you, Lord, for your touch on our lives to use us for your glory. Lord, that in this dark world, you have called us as light, to be light in a dark place. And I pray, Father, that every person here tonight, Lord, would have a renewed desire, Lord, to influence and impact others, to make a difference for your kingdom, to help someone along their way. Lord, may you just be glorified in this message tonight. I pray that you'd help me, Lord, to say what you'd have me to and nothing more. In Jesus' name, amen. But tonight we're going to talk about David, leader without a title. You know, there are a lot of leaders that have titles, and we readily recognize that, right? But I want you to realize that with or without a title, a position, you can be a leader. David is known as one of the greatest kings of Israel. So some of you are probably thinking, what do you mean without a title? I mean, he was a king. But tonight we're just going to consider the life of David as a leader before he became king. Now, there's a whole lot about David. So, in fact, just what we're going to look at tonight is a pretty good chunk. But we're going to focus on the time of his life before he became king. He was anointed by the prophet Samuel to become king, but that was many, many years before it actually came to pass. And yet David always had a following. It's just strange how that there would be hundreds of people following David, even though he had no official position or title. As long as King Saul was still alive, David never promoted himself as king. Even after he was anointed to be king, he never promoted himself as king. In fact, he never pursued that while Saul was alive. You know, it almost seems like it would be the normal thing. And, you know, he could have easily popped up on the scene and said, well, God's anointed me to be the replacement. It's time for me to be king. Come on, people. God's already anointed me. I mean, I can just see that happening, can't you? I mean, that would be the natural thing, what most people would do. And David never did that. And yet, he was a great leader before he ever became king. So for many years, he had no title, no position, and yet hundreds following. Now, the leadership principle we're going to talk about tonight can work for anyone. These principles can work for anyone because they're proven to work without position or title. In fact, they're proven to work in or with opposition. And you sure see that a lot in David's life. Now tonight we're going to cover a whole lot of the book of Samuel, 1 Samuel. And I'm not going to read a whole lot of scripture to you, though. I just want to encourage you to read David's story. In fact, if you'll read beginning in 1 Samuel chapter 16 through the end of the book, I don't mean while I'm preaching. I'm talking about, you know, tonight or sometime soon, that you just read his story there to the end of the book of Samuel. It's an interesting story, by the way, and it's an easy read because it's so exciting. So many awesome things happen, interesting things happen in David's life. But in our last leadership training, we talked about the rise and fall of King Saul. And Saul had disobeyed the Lord, and because of that, the Lord chose David to replace him, to become the leader of his people. So why did the Lord choose David? The Lord told the prophet Samuel to go to Jesse's house and anoint a new king. Now Jesse has 8 sons? 7? How many was it? 12? A bunch. And all his sons, I thought it was 8. Anyway, all these sons come in and none of them are the guy. I mean, Samuel looks at the very first one, the oldest one, was his name Eliab, something like that. And Samuel's like, this is the guy. I mean, he just looked the part. He's the oldest. You know, I guess he was big and strong and had charisma. I don't know. But Samuel looks at him and he says, this has to be the guy. And the Lord said, no, that's not him. In fact, this is what the Lord says, 1 Samuel 16:7. The Lord said to Samuel, do not look at his appearance or his physical stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord does not see as man sees. For man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. And you know, we really do. We look at the outward appearance. And even when it comes to leadership, a lot of the time, we just look at the outward appearance. And you need to realize that when God chooses a leader, he doesn't go by what's on the outside, but he looks at the heart. Even the prophet Samuel. Now, Samuel's a real spiritual guy. He was a great prophet. But he was looking at the outside. Man looks at the outside, but God looks at the heart. And so they send for David. He's still out in the fields with the sheep. You know, they didn't even bother to bring him in. But they call him in. And the minute that Samuel sees him, the Lord tells him, this is the one. Anoint him to be king. So how did the Lord choose David? Why did he choose David? He said, the Lord looks on the heart. In fact, when the Lord first let Saul know that he was going to be replaced, he told him, I have found a man after my own heart. Here's the principle, that this is a great quality in a leader. David had a good heart. Now, I know you can get real spiritual about all that and what it means to have a heart after the Lord and all those kinds, but I'm just telling you, it was the heart. David had a good heart. And what a great quality in a leader to just have a good heart. Now, when you talk about the heart, you're talking about the seat of the will. That means how you make decisions, the choices that you make. And we all know that David didn't always make the right choice, right? I mean, everybody knows about David's mistakes. And, you know, he wasn't perfect. He did make mistakes. He messed up. But when you look at the events of his life and over and over and over how he dealt with people and the choices that he made, you see this guy had a good heart, that he tried to do what was right. And not just right in the eyes of men, but what was pleasing to God. And I really believe this. It's not only why the Lord chose him, because he had a good heart, but I also believe that it's part of why people followed him. They saw in him a good heart. And how we need that in our generation, when there's so many leaders who try to get people to follow them because what I'm going to do for you. But it's not about their character, their integrity, or their heart. Great quality in leadership, just to have a good heart. Now, we all know the story that thrust David into the limelight and made him so famous, right? It's the story of David and Goliath. And we all know the story. And listen, there's no doubt about it that it was that event that took David from being relatively unknown to anybody, and all of a sudden, everybody knows who he is, and he immediately becomes a leader. But I want you to understand something about that event and David's heart and how that happened. See, David wasn't just some young, arrogant punk who said, I'm going to make a name for myself. He wasn't just going out there trying to become famous, and you know what, he wasn't on some ego trip. In fact, I want to read 1 Samuel 17:37. The reason that David was willing to go out and fight Goliath is plain and simple. It was a matter of faith. Moreover, David said, the Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear, he will deliver me from the hand of the Philistine. just for time's sake, we're just reading a few verses, but verse 45 through 47, here's what he says to Goliath. You come to me with a sword, with a spear, and a javelin. But I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hand, and I will strike you, take your head from you. And this day I will give the carcasses of the camp of the Philistines to the birds of the air and the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. Then all the assembly shall know that the Lord does not save with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. You see, David was willing to fight Goliath, plain and simple, because he believed God. He trusted God. Faith is a great quality in a leader. I'm not talking about wishing, hoping that things will turn out good. I'm talking about faith in God. And David had such a strong faith that he didn't even think twice about putting his life on the line. He really actually believed this, that the battle was the Lord's. That if he just showed up, God would give him the victory. And that's what happened. And I just want to encourage you, if you want to lead anybody, listen. The fray, the crowd, always struggles to believe. When you really believe God and trust God, when you're willing to step out in faith, I'm telling you, it sets you apart from the crowd. It sets you apart from the fray, and it shows that you're a spiritual leader. And I just encourage you, that's a quality as a leader that you need in your life. There's another quality that was evidenced that day. I don't know if you've ever thought about this way, but David was willing to do what others were not willing to do. Everybody else stood back and watched. Everybody else was doing the same thing. His older brother, well, he even got mad that David even came down to where the battle, they called it a battle, there was no battle. He got mad that David even came down to where Goliath was coming out and taunting them. He wasn't willing to go fight. Saul was head and shoulders taller than anybody else in Israel, but he wasn't willing to go fight that giant. Nobody else. Everybody else is standing back. David was willing to do something that nobody else was willing to do. Here's a great leadership trait. You got to be willing to do something that nobody else is willing to do. Obvious truth. If you're doing the same thing as everybody else, you're not a leader. Now, I know there's always somebody out there that's going to be different just because they want to be weird. That's not what I'm talking about. But I'm just telling you, if you're going to really lead, you got to be willing to step out and do something that not everybody else is doing. Well, y'all must not have got that same as I did. I'm just telling you, that's something we need to get. Because there's a lot of us, you know, we want to lead, but we want to conform. You know, we don't want to make way. We just want to kind of go with the flow. You're not leading. You got to be willing to do something that nobody else is willing to do. Now, the next point just really goes right along with that. But let me say one more thing about that. See, when David did that, when he did what nobody else would do, that day he became a leader in their eyes forever. David never asked anyone to do anything that he himself wouldn't do. You see, David went out first and he killed Goliath. Now what happens next is an awesome thing because all of the Israelites go after the Philistines and slaughter them. I mean, they've been standing there in fear day after day after day. And now they have this great bold. David didn't even have to ask them to go fight. You see, because he went and fought first. But you see this pattern in David's life over and over and over again, this servant attitude. He didn't send men into battle. He led men into battle. And, you know, one of the things I see a lot of times in people in authority is they want to rule over people, tell people do this and don't do that, and they act like they're above what they make others do. That's why, you know, I think this is really powerful. If we understand the principles of leadership that make you a leader, even when you have no position or title, and this is one of them, that you don't ask other people to do something you yourself aren't willing to do. If you want people to follow you, then you got to be willing to lead the way. That's what being a leader is. It's leading. And you can't send other people to do the dirty work. You got to be willing to do whatever you ask somebody else to do. You know, there was a time when Saul put David over a certain part of the army. He's really just trying to get rid of David. But even when David was on the run and the only title he had was fugitive, yet people followed him. And I think that's part of it, is that he led men. He didn't tell them to do something that he himself wouldn't do. He was one of those guys that was willing to take the heat. He didn't sacrifice other people because he was important. You know, you just see this servant attitude in David because he's been anointed king. And if anybody's going to take God at his word, David, I'm sure he believed that what God said that or spoke over him that day through the prophet Samuel, that it was going to come to pass. But you know, David never took on that prima donna attitude that, hey, don't y'all know who I am? No, instead, he led people into the battle and he was willing to put himself in harm's way. I worked for a pastor one time, and he told me, he said, if there's ever trouble between us, he said, you'll have to take the fall for the kingdom's sake. Well, it wasn't the kingdom's sake, it was his sake he was worried about. But, you know, there's a lot of leaders like that, that they're more interested in protecting themselves than protecting the people under them and the people that they serve. And I just want you to know that if you're going to lead people, you can't ask people to do something that you're not willing to do. By the way, he's the only person that ever got the honor of firing me. So, well, because of David's success and popularity as king, Saul hated him. Excuse me, I didn't say that right. Because of David's success and popularity, King Saul hated him, pursued him relentlessly, trying to get rid of him, trying to kill him. Over and over, Saul is trying to kill David. There's at least two occasions where David could have killed Saul and didn't. And he wouldn't touch Saul because he was the king. So 1 Samuel 24 and 10 says this, "Look, this day your eyes have seen that the Lord delivered you today into my hands in the cave, and someone urged me to kill you, but my eye spared you, and I said, I will not stretch out my hand against my Lord, for he is the Lord's anointed." So here's the leadership trait. David had great respect for authority. I mean, he's a fugitive. He's being pursued by those in authority. In fact, this King Saul, he's a evil king. He's a bad king. He's a bad person. He's trying to kill David. But David says, I will not touch the Lord's anointed. He still had this great respect for the position, for the authority, and he wouldn't touch him. And I have to tell you, this is so lacking in our generation, where we stand in judgment of every leader and attack and accuse and rail against them, undermine them, and we feel justified about it and feel like we're doing the right thing. But I tell you, David says, I wouldn't touch the Lord's anointed. It's so strange because, you know, the Lord has already set the wheels in motion for Saul, for his kingdom to come to an end. And yet, David says, I won't touch him. And I want to tell you why that's an important principle in leadership. If you can't submit to authority, don't ever expect anybody else to be under your authority. If you can't be led, you can't lead. And I'm just telling you, it's some of these kinds of things where we decide that the law of sowing and reaping doesn't apply. You better be careful how you follow, how you serve, how you treat those in authority, because you're going to reap what you sow. One way or another, it comes back to us. But David had that respect for authority. Samuel 25 tells us a story of how David's men watched over the flocks of Nabal. And later, David sends a request to Nabal that he would give some food to David's men. And Nabal refused, and he insults David and his men. And when David gets word of it, he sets out to go and destroy Nabal and his household. And he's so angry, he sets out to take vengeance on Nabal. Nabal's wife, Abigail, comes to meet David, and she brings food and drink for his men and makes an attempt to stop him. And she asked David not to take vengeance into his own hands, but to leave it to God. And David realized he was doing wrong. He repented of what he was about to do. And he thanked her for coming to meet him and warning him to not take vengeance in his own hands. And there's two things that I want you to get from that story tonight. By the way, it's such a great story, you ought to read it, I'm telling you. But the first is a very simple thing, that David cared about the needs of his men. You know, his men had been out there for a long time. They didn't have much food. And so they send to Nabal, and he's requesting food for his men. And this is a great leadership quality. You got to care for the needs of the people that you lead. In fact, as a spiritual leader, if you don't care for the needs of those you lead, you shouldn't be leading. And, you know, we're living in this strange time when some people try to lead people they don't really even care about. I think we call them politicians. But with David, it was never that way. And as you read about his life, you can just see that he cared for the people. Well, this story also shows us something else about David, that he restrained himself from avenging himself. I'm talking about leadership, and you're probably thinking, well, why is that important in a leader? Well, there's a couple of things. You know, now the world says, get even. Teach them a lesson. And you know what? David certainly could have. I mean, he was a bad dude just by himself, even apart from his following. But he certainly could have avenged himself. But it takes a bigger person to turn and walk away and let the Lord take care of it. And that's exactly what he did. Now, I want you to think about this. Would you rather follow the guy that rules in absolute justice, lays down the law, lets you have it when you step out of line? Or would you rather follow the guy who's gracious and merciful? Oh, we all need it. We all need it. Which kind of leader would you rather be? And I'm just telling you, I believe this is one of the things that made people want to follow David. By the way, this is not an isolated incident. It's the biggest incident where David was set out to go and do vengeance to somebody. But there's many times where somebody criticized David, where somebody made fun of David, where people ridiculed him, where people opposed him, where people even tried to kill him, and he didn't avenge himself, but he let the Lord take care of it. I think it's amazing. something that we need to develop in our life, that even as just a Christian, much less a leader, that we don't try to avenge ourselves. We just leave that to the Lord. Let God take care of it. Here's what happened. I want to read 1 Samuel 35:38. Then it happened after about 10 days that the Lord struck Nabal and he died. Wow. That's still not the end of the story, though. We're going to read three more verses. So when David heard that Nabal was dead, he said, "Bless the Lord who has pleaded the cause of my reproach from the hand of Nabal and has kept his servant from evil. For the Lord had returned the wickedness of Nabal on his own head, and David sent and proposed to Abigail to take her as his wife. When the servants of David had come to Abigail at Carmel, they spoke to her, saying, 'David sent us to you to ask you to become his wife.' And then she arose and bowed her face to the earth and said, 'Here is your maidservant, a servant to wash the feet of the servants of my Lord.' So Abigail rose in haste and rode on a donkey and attended by five of her maidens, and she followed the messengers of David and became his wife." Boy, when the Lord gives you vengeance, it's the whole package, just saying. And the bigger the offense, the greater the vengeance. When people, now, you know, God is merciful, but if people don't repent, I tell you, the Lord takes care of it. You just got to trust him to deal with it. But you know, those men that were with him saw how David handled that. They saw his mercy and his graciousness. Listen, they also saw how the Lord blessed him. I didn't put this as a point, but I'm just telling you that if when the Lord blesses you, it makes it easier to lead other people, because they're like, "Hey, this guy's got something going on." And I know it was that way with David, because God just blessed him, even though he went through so much trouble in his life. And yet he always came out victoriously, one way or another. He always landed on his feet. God kept him going and blessed him. And those men saw that. Well, the next leadership key we're going to look at is one that can be seen again in his life over and over. And here it is: David inquired of the Lord. I started to just say something real simple like David prayed, but I want to get this point across. You know, sometimes when we pray, we're like, "God, help me do what I'm doing. Lord, bless my mess. Lord, this is what I want to do. You know, God, I've got my plans, and let me tell you what you need to do." In the form of a prayer, we say, "Lord, would you, in Jesus' name, would you? That's not what I'm talking about. No, what I'm talking about is David going to the Lord and asking him, not bless what I'm doing, but asking him, "What should I do?" And that's why I left it as it is there in the scripture, where it says David inquired of the Lord. He asked the Lord, "What should I do?" What a great leadership trait, that we don't just assume, we don't just go by the, you know, decide by the pros and cons. I've made one major decision in my life by doing that. That's when I worked for that pastor I mentioned earlier. Yeah. Anyway, but David inquired of the Lord. 1 Samuel 23:1-5. They told David, saying, "Look, the Philistines are fighting against Keilah, and they are robbing the threshing floors." Then David inquired of the Lord, saying, "Shall I go and attack these Philistines?" And the Lord said to David, "Go and attack the Philistines and save Keilah." Now, see, David didn't just go, "Hey, you know, we're awesome, and look what God has done before, so let's just go." See, he didn't assume. Instead, he prayed, he inquired of the Lord. But David's men said to him, "Look, we're afraid here in Judah. How much more than if we go to Keilah against the armies of the Philistines?" Then David inquired of the Lord once again. So he listened to the guys, he listened to their opinion, and he goes and he prays again. And the Lord answered him and said, "Arise and go down to Keilah, for I will deliver the Philistines into your hand." And David and his men, see, they were afraid. They brought their objection, their opinion to David. But when David inquired of the Lord, They were ready to go. You see, I just want you to see that this is a great leadership quality. When you hear from God, when you don't just listen to the popular opinion. What if David would have done that? They wouldn't have gone. They would have disobeyed God. You don't take a vote. He wouldn't have gone. No, he inquired of the Lord. And when he heard from God, listen, then, you see, those that you lead, when you've heard from God, they'll follow and the Lord will bless it. To lead in difficult times, you got to hear from God. Even the best of leaders can lose some of their popularity sometime. We're going to read part of a story in 1 Samuel chapter 30. And one more point I want to give you tonight. 1 Samuel chapter 30. We're going to just read from verse 1 through verse 8. Now it happened when David and his men came to Ziklag on the third day. The Amalekites had invaded the south in Ziklag and attacked Ziklag and burned it with fire and had taken captive the women and those who were there from small to great. They did not kill anyone but carried them away and went their way. So David and his men came to the city and there it was burned with fire and their wives, their sons, their daughters had been taken captive. Then David and the people were with him lifted up their voices and wept until they had no more power to weep. David's two wives, Ahinoam and the Jezreelitess and Abigail, the widow of Nabal the Carmelite, had been taken captive. Now David was greatly distressed, for the people spoke of stoning him. Wow, this great leader, he had a really, really bad day. I mean, it was bad enough. You know, he wept just like everybody else. His wives and all of his stuff was taken too. But now they're talking about stoning him. They blame, you know, whenever something goes wrong, that's the price of leadership. Guess who gets the blame? And so they're talking about stoning David because the soul of the people was grieved, every man for his sons and his daughters. But David strengthened himself in the Lord his God. Another translation says encouraged himself, and I really like that better. But let's read on. It says, then David said to Abiathar the priest, Ahimelech's son, please bring the ephod here to me. And Abiathar brought the ephod to David. And so David inquired of the Lord, saying, shall I pursue this troop? Shall I overtake them? And he answered him, pursue, for you shall surely overtake them without fail and recover all. So here's another one of those examples where David inquires of the Lord and the Lord answers him. But David, when this terrible time happened, he did what he knew to do, and that was pray. When the wheels come off, when you're in a really bad situation, pray. It's time to inquire of the Lord. But there's one more principle here. I want to go back to that. It says that he strengthened himself, or he encouraged himself in the Lord. See, great leadership principle. When everybody else is crying, when everybody else is upset, when everybody else is mad, when everybody else is down, I'm not saying that you can't have your time to cry or your time to be upset, but you can't stay there. You got to get up and you got to encourage yourself in the Lord. You got to lead the way. I mean, what if David hadn't encouraged himself in the Lord? Not only might he have been stoned, but they would have never gotten their families back. And I'm just telling you that when you lead, you don't have that privilege of feeling sorry for yourself. There's too much else at stake. And if you're going to lead, see, I'm going to say it one more time. I'm not going to say that you can't ever cry or you can't ever be down, but I'm just telling you, if you're going to lead, You got to dust yourself off and get back up, encourage yourself in the Lord, and lead. When nobody else, isn't it great when people encourage you? And I just say, as pastor, boy, it's great when people pat you on the back. Man, I love that. But I'm also going to tell you this, that there's sometimes difficult times when there's nobody encouraging you, nobody patting you on the back, and you got to encourage yourself in the Lord. You got to stir yourself up in the Lord, strengthen yourself in the Lord. You know, they say it's lonely at the top. Well, it is if you're talking about people. Because there'll be some times, anytime you lead, there'll be some times when you feel alone. But you're not ever really alone. If you strengthen yourself in the Lord, He's always right there to help you get through, but also to help you lead. Well, why don't you stand with me and let's just pray. Lord, I thank you for the example and your word of a great man like David, Lord, who in spite of his faults was used so mightily to make a difference in this world. And I pray, Father, that we would just learn from his example tonight. And Lord, that we would truly lead people in a way that is irresistible. Lord, that would draw people, not to us, Lord, but to you. Lord, that we would have an impact on other people. I pray, Father, that there'd just be such an anointing, a touch of the Spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ upon us. Lord, that we'll impact those in our workplace. Lord, our families, our neighbors. Lord, those we cross paths with. Lord, that they would just see something different about us. That we would have an influence upon their life. And Lord, that you'd be glorified in it. Now, Father, I just pray for those who have come tonight, Lord, and don't see themselves as a leader. Maybe they could never see themselves as a leader like David. I just pray, Father, that by your Spirit, you just do a work in their heart. That they'll just begin to walk fresh and new, Lord, in a new anointing, a new calling. Lord, to just be who you've called them to be. That you have made them your workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works. And Lord, just use them for your honor and glory. Now, Father, I just thank you for it all. And Lord, help us, Lord. Lord, that we would serve. That our desire to lead would just be born out of the desire to serve, to help others along their way. In Jesus' name, I thank you for it. Amen. Well, Lord bless you. I love you. Hope you learned something tonight.